Hey everybody, this is Joe with Flip Gorilla, and welcome to the Flip Gorilla podcast. We are always, as always, we're appreciative to Maven Loans for being a sponsor of ours. Maven Loans, hard money company, 30-year fixed type company. We do DSCR loans, but we mostly stick to the fix and flip. And so today on the podcast, we have two different people. We have Tyson Woods, who is a very seasoned investor. Tyson has flipped over 300 properties by himself. And I'm sure he had a crew, but it was by his own company. And so he's super experienced in the fix and flip space. He now has been, he's now part of the Flip Gorilla family. He is pretty much heading Flip Gorilla from this point forward. And so Flip Gorilla is in a really good space with Tyson. So hello, Tyson Wood. And I guess he's on mute. And next I have Brian. Brian Ortiz is a really great realtor. He's in the Tennessee area, and he's done a lot of traditional listings. And the reason why we have him on the podcast today is because we wanted to talk to him about how he's recently been working with Flip Gorilla. He's been working with investors on how he's able to get more deals working with investors, and you know, kind of the stuff he's had to learn from the traditional listing to how investors work. So with that, Brian, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Great to be here.
All right. So first I wanted to talk to you, Brian. So you were a traditional, you know, listing agent, right? You go to the house, you knock on the door, you get a listing. I'm sure it wasn't really that like that, but you would list houses and you'd show them and do open houses. And that's how you got into the real estate business, right?
Yeah. You know, I actually got into it because I come from the music world. So I got into it about 5 years ago, kind of as a side hustle, to be honest. I think that most of us, this generation, everyone's looking for a side hustle. So for me, it was like, you know, why not get my real estate license? Really just wanted to help some friends out and kind of see where it went. Here we are 5 years later. The majority of my time now and energy goes into real estate. So you are correct, Joe. I mean, really it started with just, either listing a house or just asking friends, you know, that needed to buy a property if I could help them and just kind of learn from there.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And you're doing a pretty good job at that. And by the way, I did forget to say you are a talented musician.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're very welcome. And you spend a lot of your time. That's kind of your passion, right? Is to work with artists and in music and, you know, being on stage and also being behind stage to just kind of hanging out with the artist, right?
Yeah. More so behind the stage these days. Yeah. Yeah. But, I'm a music guy. I grew up in music. So.
So then you started doing the side hustle of real estate. You started doing some listings, things like that. And then along comes, you know, investors like us, right? And we say, hey man, let's, you know, try to find some deals that are, you know, they have, you know, below market value for whatever reason, mostly because they're, you know, beat up or they got a lot of issues with the properties, and you know, we'll purchase them, we'll do the hard money, which is different than traditional financing, fix it up and sell it. And so let me ask you something. So was that a big curve that you had to kind of learn there, or how does that go?
Yeah, you know, it was, Joe. And I think part of my story too, you know, that I lived in LA for years as well. So that's part of my background. So I feel like my perspective on real estate in Tennessee is much different than most Tennessee agents, just because I come from the West Coast. So I feel like a lot of the opportunities and a lot of things that are on the market here in Tennessee wouldn't even last an hour on the market in LA. Right. Since the LA market is so much about the fix and flip and finding deals and off market deals. And that doesn't feel like it's totally, I'm not saying it doesn't exist here in Tennessee, but not to the same level that it does in the West Coast. So I think that over the last year or so, I've kind of, you know, given more time and energy into the fix and flip, mainly through my relationship with you, actually, right? You kind of brought me into this. And gosh, it's really quite enjoyable, if I'm honest, for many, many reasons. But one of the main reasons, it's so much less emotional when you're working with, you know, buyers that are getting outbid and it's going to be their, you know, forever home and they're going to raise their kids in that house. And it can be a little stressful. So I kind of like this lane we're in right now, where it's less emotional. It's more about, you know, finding a great deal, getting in and out. So, but I'm still learning, you know, I'm still new to this, but it's been fun. So,
no, I agree with you a lot in regards to the, and I think that's one of the things that attracts me to the fix and flip investor space is it's less emotional. You know, I always call these imaginary parents. I call them Tom and Mary with little Timmy, and working with Tom and Mary and little Timmy is a little bit kind of out of my scope. I have questionable people skills anyhow. So I really just like the straight to it. It's just numbers. Let's get this deal flipped. And Tyson, you know a little bit about that, right? Just kind of get in there, get it done, and sell it. I don't know if Tyson's got an issue with his mute button or not, but anyhow, so yeah, that's how I like to do it also. Okay, so now you started working with us, we're picking up deals, and you're starting to see how this goes along, right? So how does that, how do you go about finding these deals, right?
Yeah, so I think being in Tennessee, it's a little bit different than I think if I was an agent in LA there. But here, it's majority MLS, and it's, you know, coming soon forums, it's realtor forums. I'm always kind of scouring that and kind of seeing what's coming to market. But, you know, people aren't really doing a lot of fix and flip here. And I think that has to do with the financing side. We've talked about that, you know, fix and flip hard money loans aren't readily available. At least I'm not aware of them. So, you know, people that are flipping houses here are, you know, doing it with their own cash. So obviously when you're doing it with your own cash and you're having to fund the whole entire deal, especially even if you're buying a dilapidated property, something that a traditional, you know, bank won't maybe finance, that kind of rules out a lot of people, right? A lot of people aren't able to, you know, bring that much cash to the table. So, you know, that being said, I think that it's still a lot of opportunity in that space, as far as my perspective. So as far as finding the properties, it starts for me like zooming way, way out on the MLS. I check every single day stuff that's hitting the market, and I kind of look for trends. You know, here on our MLS, it's like, you know, an active listing is green, a sold listing is red. So I kind of look at neighborhoods. There's certain neighborhoods I like to focus in on, and I just look at the colors. And then if I see, you know, green and around it is red, and those numbers, you know, the green price is low and the red numbers are high, I kind of just dig in there and start, you know, pressing in and looking at, you know, the specific property. And I like to get eyes on it. I'm someone that has to feel it. I want to see, you know, what the neighborhood feels like. I want to see, you know, are there any like things that are going to hinder us from, you know, selling it potentially on the back end. So I just got to get eyes on the actual property.
Yeah. And then like so you know your area. So you know also that the, you know, this price is probably a little bit below market value due to the repairs that are needed, right? So that kind of does pop out at you a little bit too.
100%. 100%. And I think too, years for me working with just clientele, you know, people looking for their forever home, you got to always keep in mind with the flips who the buyer is going to be on the back end, right? So you got to think through when we're flipping a property, we got to make sure we're delivering what the buyer is going to want. Because I think we've all seen really bad examples of bad flips, and maybe a flipper, first flip, second, I mean, they're new to the game, flipping something that the market doesn't want or the buyer doesn't want. And that's where you get in trouble, because you're going to sit with a property, just, you know, it's going to sit on the market because no one wants it.
Yeah, exactly. And no investor wants that, right? The investors, and you know, as from an investor's point of view, like we've done quite a few now. And so like, excuse me, it's from an investor's point of view to have a realtor who knows what's happening, kind of gets what we're doing, sees kind of like, now that you're getting more experienced in it, right? Like, that when you call me with a deal, like we'll go over the one we just got, right? So
yeah,
we had two, and I'm just going to throw it out there. So your values have come in. So what happens is Brian finds a deal, and he looks, he's like, this is a deal, right? And he says, this is probably worth this much, but you could get it for this much. So he calls me up and he's like, hey, this looks good. So I ask him a couple of questions, like, what do you think the after repair value is, right? The after repair value being like, once it's completely gutted, or maybe not gutted, but like it's completely gone through the electrical, the plumbing, the kitchen, the bathrooms. We put X amount of money. How much do you think it'll be worth it? That's the after repair value. He'll say, well, on this one, he said it's probably about 2.2 to 2.3 million. And the buy price was 128. Was that?
Yeah. 1225.
1225. Well, no, in the beginning it was 1,280,000 they wanted, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
We went a little bit less, and then
yep.
So he came and said, I think the property's worth about 2-3. So that's the point I wanted to make. Like, having a realtor that knows his area, knows what that value is going to be. Nobody's appraised it yet. Nobody else has put their eyes on it yet. It's just Brian. Brian's looking at this going, this property's worth this much. And it's being sold for way below market value. We don't know what that reason is yet, but it's going to be, you know, the buy price, there's a spread there. There's a really large spread there. So once that happens, then it's just a matter of how much is this construction going to cost, right? Oh, it looks like Tyson's back in. Tyson, you're muted. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Can you guys hear me?
Hey, there he is. What's up, Tyson?
Hey, sorry about that. A little bit of technical difficulties.
So this is where we were just talking about the Brian finds the deal. He kind of puts his eyes on it, sees like ARV, and then we already know what the buy price is. So now it's just a matter of the construction, right? And so investors like Tyson or me will come in and say, you know, per square footage, we look at videos or we look at pictures. Most of the time, Brian will walk the property and send me pictures in a video, and I'll be like, you know, I think this is probably 300 grand, right? 300,000. So like the deal that we did before this, Brian, that was a property that, if I remember correctly, they had a whole thing they were going to do, right? They're going to add a third story, and they have plans and permits and blah, 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 blah. Brian thought that the value was 2.3 million. The buy price was 125. And we thought we needed about 350 in construction. And it turned out that Brian brought that property. The appraisal came in higher than Brian thought it was going to be. Right, Brian? What did it come in?
Yeah, I think it came at 2.5.
Yeah. It worked. The deal worked fantastic at 2.3. But the appraiser came in and said, no, this is definitely at 2.5. So that's the key, though, for a realtor, right, to be able to look on the MLS and see that value for what it is and tell me, I say, let's do it. We look into it. Then an appraiser brought in. An appraiser comes in and he verifies what Brian's assumption is, right? Like, I think this is a 2-3, and he'll verify it. And I would say out of all the deals we've done, they've all come in either at price or a little bit over what Brian thought it was going to be. Brian, correct?
Except for that one. Yeah, we had one fell out, but that's why we get an appraisal, right? You know that there's going to be one every once in a while that, you know, you're wrong. And that's why we get an appraisal.
And that saves everybody a bunch of time and money and stuff down the future. And the appraiser came in a little bit lower, and we decided, actually a lot lower. We thought, oh, that was weird. I'll be honest with you. I actually still think Brian's number was correct. You know, Brian, I still think, you know, the number you came in with was probably right. I think the appraiser came in low, but
I agree.
At that point, we can't even do the deal anymore because we're like, you know, what if we do all this money into this deal and, you know, we have an appraisal for less and we're wrong, you know? So we just kind of killed the deal. Everybody got their money back and we moved on to the next one, which, you know, he was able to put together in a very short period of time. And now we have one that's, I think, we think it's a new one that we're looking at today. We just got Brian negotiated it, got the contract yesterday. Brian thought the value was a 2-2.3, and construction's 350. Our buy price is 1,225,000. And we got the contract yesterday. The money came in. We're going to do the deal. Appraisal got ordered today. And we think that, you know, I think, Brian, mm-hmm. I actually believe that the appraiser is going to come in higher because we're doing a deal not too far from this, smaller square footage. And this has got another 1,000 square feet. And the other property came in at 2.5. I'm assuming this is going to come in higher. But we just go off what the appraiser says it is, regardless of how we feel about it, right?
Yeah, Yeah, and I'm new to this space. Like I said earlier, Joe, I mean, I haven't done a lot of these flips. You kind of brought me into this, but I think when I'm looking for deals, I'm always looking for the deals that have the most square footage as well. Cause I could see the newbie side of a flipper finding something in an area that has less square footage, but unless you're going to be adding square footage, the value isn't there. Right. So if I buy something that's, you know, I look at the numbers only and I say, well, I can buy this for $1 million and everything on the street selling for 3 million. But when you dig down deeper, you realize that what you're buying for $1 million is maybe 1,000 square foot house. And all those selling for 3 million are, you know, 6,000 square feet. Well, the numbers don't work out. Right. So it's always like looking for deals that have more square footage that we can actually work within the footprint as well.
Yes. No, I agree with that. I agree with that. So let me jump over to Mr. Tyson real quick. Tyson, are you still there?
I'm here.
So let me ask you something. So like I said earlier, that you've already gone through, you flipped over 300 houses in LA, mostly LA, Beverly Hills, those high-end deals out there. How instrumental are realtors in the acquisition of the inventory for you for all the flips that you went through?
I think when you're getting into like those higher end areas and neighborhoods, the relationships that they have and the trust they've built in that community is pretty powerful. So if we can interact in a way with them, you know, to work together, that's huge. Cause now we're getting inventory that we may not come across as an investor.
And having a relationship with somebody like I have with Brian, that's kind of key, right? Like when they're going powerful. Out and looking, yeah. They're going out and looking and they're spotting it, right? Like they start to see it with their eyes, like, hey, there's one right there. You know, it's like that's a great connection between two different types, right? The listing agent and the investor. It's a pretty tight relationship, right?
Right. And in my experience, you know, I'm looking for property. I grew up in short sale negotiations, you know, distressed pre-foreclosures, bypassing everybody going to this courthouse steps and buying raw legal title. But if you can actually develop, like, I guess, anchor homes, how I even met you, Joe, was through getting better at relationships with people in the business and the synergy that can come from that. And then how you can grow, because now you got a person you can trust, you know, especially like a real estate agent who knows that area and can bring deals to the table, and they understand our buying criteria, their buying, you know, how they fit in or how we can all work together. That's huge. That's powerful because deals are hard to come by. That's the goal. How do we get the deal? You know?
So Brian, we brought Tyson in. He's actually working with us now in our Flip Gorilla acquisition side. And we're pretty excited about that because, you know, he's been through so much and he's done so many deals. He kind of already knows. So I feel pretty confident in this. And so I think Flip Gorilla is going to keep, you know, going in the right direction. But, you know, I was talking to you and I was telling you, man, hey, you know, you should probably start, you know, getting a group of other realtors in Tennessee. That could basically just talk to you, right?
Yep.
And you guys could work together, right? Because you already have our trust and our you know, the funds that we have, the money that we have, and the hard money, the experience that we have, and we're really comfortable with you. But I was saying, like, you know, you should start developing a group around you, right? Of other realtors, other wholesalers, other people in Tennessee, and you know. Because you've already been down this road, like you already know how all this process works now. So what did you think about that?
Yeah, I'm all for it, Joe. I think that kind of what I was saying earlier, it's so new here that I find that a lot of agents, I have a couple of agents I've talked to about what we're doing and what we're trying to build, and they're totally game and they're jumping on board. But for other agents, it's this idea of like, it's a new model that doesn't really exist here. So again, like me coming from West Coast, I've seen this in LA for years. Even though I wasn't actively doing real estate, like I was familiar with how real estate worked in LA and how the model worked. And coming out here, it's not something that's really common, these types of fix and flip type deals. So I don't want to say agents are a little bit behind, but they're just more traditional, right? I mean, you have a buyer, you have a seller, you know, it's very black and white. So it almost seems too good to be true in many ways when I'm talking to other agents.
Yeah.
But we'll get there, you know, we'll build.
Yeah. I mean, you got. I mean, how do you deny having that many more commission checks coming? And that it seems like you're more in control of your income also when you could scour the inventory and pull deals out that investors are going to come in to bring. And then we haven't even talked about the other side, right? Like the listing side. Like when you know, yeah. Tyson's in San Diego. I'm in LA, and but you know, listen, when we go to list this property, who are we going to get to list it? I mean, Ryan, right? That's that's the only person that we would go with to list the deal on the way out, right? So you're kind of making your commission on the way in, and then also when we go to sell it, you're our guy to sell it, right? There's that, right?
Yeah.
So then how many ends can we add to Brian's business in a 12-month period? You know, acquisitions and sales. And that's pretty good for realtors.
That's great for realtors. I mean, I think the hardest thing as a realtor is having a buyer, right? So I think that this kind of model too, being able to find great deals and bring them to investors that already have the funding, that are already qualified, that are looking for deals, that's a dream come true. So.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Something I wanted to switch over to is like the product that we actually put out. Like the product that we put out, Tyson, you know about this, and Brian, you do too. Like the product we put out is top notch, right? Like we put high-end appliances, we put, you know, windows, roofs if we have to. We leave a product that, I mean, we're proud to put on the market. You know what I mean? Like the property, like the ones on Fredericksburg.
Yeah.
Dude, that's that property I'm proud to put on the market, right?
Yeah.
That
thing's yeah.
Fantastic. So we're
and I think the expectation, I mean, especially for you guys, San Diego, LA, but it's happening here in Nashville too. People want a high-end product. They want something that feels the stuff that's done at a you know secondary level just sits on the market. If you do a flip poorly, it's just going to sit there. It's not going to sell. So things have to be done well.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, it's the whole, and not only that, but what about like, you know, we pretty much tear this house apart and we make sure the electrical, the plumbing, the sewage, everything's kind of hooked up for another, you know, X amount of decades for it to work for people. And we're, you know, I feel proud of the fact that we put up a piece of the market that is high end. You know, I think that's, you know, some because people can't buy the property and then afford to fix it, right? Yep. Or yep. Lenders won't lend on a property that's too broken, or they won't lend the money to fix it. So that's where we come in. Like we acquire the property, we do everything that the market needs it to be, right? And then we put it back on the market, ready to be lived in, turnkey, ready to be lived in for another 20 years. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I seen the product that Tyson put out over in Brentwood, Beverly Hills, and I mean, beautiful, top notch. Right. What do you got to say about that, Tyson?
Well, when it's exponentially more difficult, I would say, because at the same time, now you're talking about creating some art in real estate. It was exciting to grow into high end. And as we did that, now we're talking things like this, hydro thermostatic pressure balance, electronic control mixer valve, not just a Hans Grohe mixer that's shiny and nice. And then you got to have the finish. Is it chrome? You know, is it whatever it is? And so you're keeping up with what's current. We're creating an emotional attachment for these high-end buyers. But the buyer pool, when you get up a million plus, you're working with some people that have taste, they're looking for stuff, that buyer pool shrinks. Yep. So the product on the build out of that becomes not just indoor, outdoor experiences, highly designed, but we're trying to throw in stuff like, you know, electronic control mixer valves, perfect temperature at the just right time. And now we're bringing electrical into showers, liability for electrical. So things get complex, higher end. But it's exciting to grow into that because, you know, my ex-wife and I, when we were doing this trustee sell buyers, we did 80 houses in a year, Home Depot grade. That was easier to process that many escrows, titles, purchases, upgrade, like home improvements. and sold escrows, that's a lot. That was easier than doing two million plus homes at the same time, plus a batch of like 600,000 and 700,000, 800,000 other homes. Cause we always had more than, you know, a group of houses going, but those high end become much different fast.
You know, what's funny is that I've done a lot of the low end stuff too, right? Like the low end flips, and they are easy. I think, yeah, obviously they're easier. You just go to Home Depot, get whatever you want, make them beautiful. But I don't know. I really like doing the multi-million dollars. I like doing the high end. You know,
Brian and I,
yeah, no, definitely it is. Definitely. And plus, like you said, like the clients that are coming in to buy this stuff, they're savvy. They're smart. They're doctors. They're lawyers. They're professionals.
Mm-hmm.
The product that we put out, like they're high end, you know, high end stuff for high end people. And, but, you know, Brian and I were talking recently on the deal that we're just closing right now. And we were, you know, kind of chatting, Tyson, about like the kitchen layout. And, you know, we usually blow walls out to make the kitchen bigger and blah, 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 blah. And he was asking like, what kind of stove and stuff. And I was like, there's only one stove, right? Like the Wolf and the Sub-Zero refrigerator, like that has to go into these houses, like $15,000 stoves, $20,000 refrigerators, like, you know, for a multi-million dollar house, you know, you're expecting high end and you're going to get it, right? You're going to get the best stove, best refrigerator, most functional kitchen that anybody can use, plus the bathrooms and all that other good stuff. But yeah, it gets expensive. But at the end of the deal, you know, it's like you're selling a property for $2.5 million, you know, so you better put the work into it. So yeah, that's so Brian, details. Yeah, details, 100% on the details. Brian, so you're seeing your area. So here's how I see Tennessee, right? Like Tyson is a hardcore LA flipper, but Tennessee, I really like Tennessee. It's like,
yeah,
the people are,
yeah, awesome. it's where Austin was 10 years ago. So I think the opportunity is still here. And I mean, man, so many friends, you know, I've gone back and forth here to LA a couple times over the years. And I have so many friends that have moved here from LA. I mean, it feels like there's just a direct line from here to Los Angeles now. It's really interesting.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I've been on that plane so many times now. It's pretty comfortable, but you know, the people are awesome. Super, really polite, kind. They're very welcoming. Pride of ownership in their homes. You know, it's just a really good spot. And plus I feel like it's you know, like LA's so competitive, right? Like it's so competitive on acquisition, it's so competitive on construction, it's so competitive. And in Tennessee, there's no competitive, but it seems like they're a little bit behind what we do. Like we bring this kind of, you know what I mean, Brian? And you've felt it more than a couple of times where I'm like, no, just do this, this, and this. I'm like, we don't do that here. Okay, yeah. Well, it's legal, right? Just explain to them this is how it goes. And we've got some people that, you know, they're not as quick to change their mental position on things. But I feel like, you know, we've now, you know, with the lawyers and everything that's there, that they're starting to see that, you know, what we do is, you know, it's different. It's 100% different, but it's a value and a benefit to the community that really can't, if we don't step in and do it, who will?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there is absolute opportunity for expansion and growth, whether that's through things like real estate and development, but also just systems and the way financing is done and all those things. Absolutely. And I would say that what I love about Tennessee is they reward people for doing something well. And what I mean by that is if you came and opened a coffee shop right now. Now, if you open a coffee shop in LA, will it succeed? Maybe, maybe not. There's a lot of coffee shops. But here in Tennessee right now, if you came and opened a coffee shop and you did it really well, the community will reward you and you'll be successful. If you open a yoga studio and you did it well, the community will reward you and you'll do well. So I love that kind of sense that we have right now in the city. Will it last? I don't know, but it exists right now. Lots of opportunity.
Yeah. No, I think it will because it's such a beautiful city. You know, when I was in, where else can you fly into Nashville and just there's music everywhere. And
it's music city.
It's just like music everywhere. People are playing. There's a lot of youth. And And then there's just a light snow in the city. You know, that's like so dope. You know, it's like, I really like the area. I'm like, we're not trying to sell Tennessee to all these investors, by the way, like stay out of it. This is our spot. but I would like for other realtors in the area to see what model Brian's put together to, you know, and by the way, it was foreign to you also in the beginning. You were a little bit hesitant, but you knew me and you kind of trusted me and you're okay, cool. But this has added value to your business, Brian, right?
100%. I would say that the focus of my real estate career moving forward is more doing these types of deals and less about, you know, the traditional help me find a home, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So absolutely.
Yeah, that's great. That's fantastic. And, you know, like we got that big deal that we just closed, that we're about to close, and that's going to be, I'm excited about that deal. It's a $350,000 renovation. And I'm expecting for that deal to hit the market and Brian's going to list it and it's going to be a wow factor is what I'm really hoping.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Anyway,
I just wanted to get everybody together here on this podcast for Flip Gorilla and maybe some of those realtors and investors, wholesalers. You know, if you're in Tennessee and you're looking to do some deals, then please contact Brian Ortiz. He'd be more than happy to show you how to do it. If you're in San Diego and you've got some deals, then Tyson Woods is the guy in San Diego, California. And other than that, you guys, thank you so much for coming on to the Flip Gorilla podcast. And I look forward to doing many more deals with you.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Joe. Brian. Yeah, right. Good to meet you.
You too. Hope to talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Bye.